Genesis chapter 3. My goal and direction for these next 4 days is to present you with some questions. And I want to try to keep it as simple as possible so it's not overwhelming, so you can remember these questions. And I have a simple question for you today, and it may even seem to you to be kind of elementary. It may seem like really that's important, but it is very important. You know, one of the things that you are used to and you're growing up with that wasn't necessarily the case too many years ago is that you're used to having, or at least your parents having, something called a GPS device, right? I remember when those were new, right? Everyone was trying to get one. And nowadays, it's built right into your phone. And so it's right there. But in the olden days, all right, they had to use something called maps. Yes, maps. Paper maps. And so those of you going on visitation, I'm building this skill into you that you would not learn, because then you'll just type it into your phone and all right, but you have to read a map and read street names, and as in, did you know that there was odd numbered houses on one side of the street and even numbers on the other? So based on odd or even, you know which side you're looking. Some are like, oh, who knew? All right, they designed it that way. But there's one thing. There is one thing that is absolutely vital for your GPS to work. In fact, you can see a map on the screen. You can know where you're going. You can know the address of where you're going and where you would like to be and end up. But if you don't have this one thing, your GPS will not work. Does anybody know what that one thing is, Brittany? You have to have, it has to have your location, where you are. Now, it can have all the streets and everything on the map. Without it knowing where you are, it cannot calculate where you're going. And so I've had a couple of older devices, and sometimes my phone will even do this, where I punch in the address, I want to go, and I hit the button to go, and it says, still locating, still finding your location. And until it finds my location, there's no way I can get a map to where I'm going. Say, why are you telling us this? Very interesting in Genesis chapter 3. You're familiar with this story, but let's read the text anyway. And, of course, this is the story of the Adam and Eve and the first sin, the temptation of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And then, of course, it goes on, and the Lord gives the punishment, the consequences for the actions. But I want to draw your attention specifically to verse number 9. Adam and Eve have sinned. The serpent has come. He's beguiled. He's tricked Eve, and due to the peer pressure that Adam was under. He knowingly said, "Oh, I want to do this because I want to preserve my relationship with my wife," and all these reasons. He knowingly sins. And then normally they would come and walk with God every day. And at that appointed time, God comes and Adam and Eve hide themselves. But notice what God says in verse number 9. The Lord God called to Adam and he said, what's the question? The question is, where art thou? Now that's a rather peculiar question. Did God not know where Adam was? Did God somehow lose Adam? Like, oh no, I misplaced him. Let me search for it so I can find it. No, God did not misplace Adam. He knew where Adam was. But yet he still asked this question, where art thou? Did God need that information? No. Well, then we have to ask ourselves the question, why did God choose to ask this question? I think there's a reason why. Of course, there's a reason why God does what he does. But I believe God wanted Adam to understand for himself where he was. God wanted Adam to know where he was. And of course, I'm speaking spiritually. God wanted Adam to know where he was. And God wanted Adam to know that he was not where God wanted him to be. Adam and Eve did not fully realize where they were, or we should say, where they had gone. Because of sin, they had gone to a place, and they didn't even realize that they were as far away from God as they were. And that condition of not really understanding where they were, that was exactly where the devil wanted them to be. They had drifted away, if I could use that term, although I mean they made the choice, but they had pulled away from God, and they didn't even realize that they were separated from God. They didn't fully own it until God showed up and said, "Where are you?" And of course they tried to make provisions and make things better, but the answer to the question was they were hiding from God because of their spiritual condition. See, the devil wanted to lure them away from God without realizing that they had ever left. Without fully noticing, without owning where they were. And that's exactly what the devil wants for your life. He wants you completely oblivious to where you are spiritually. He wants you in this no man's land of, I'm just drifting. Spiritually, I don't know. Are you saved? Well, I don't know. Well, okay, are you saved? Well, yes, I'm saved, but where are you spiritually? Well, I don't know. How are you growing? What level are you at? What's a level of growth is God challenging you in? What area of obedience is God working in your life? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Now, some of that is just immaturity. But some of that is we're in the same condition as Adam and Eve. We're actually separated from God, and we don't even fully realize where we are. And so in order to get to where God wants you to be, you must first evaluate and understand where you are. The devil wants you oblivious to where you are spiritually so that you will never get to the place where God wants you to be. So I want to ask you this simple question this morning, and this is the entire message. Where are you? Where are you? That's the title, by the way. You can write that down. All right. Where are you? Spiritually speaking, where are you? And I hope you, as we go through some of these things that I see in this text, I hope that you will honestly evaluate your own heart and ask God that question, God, could you show me where I am? Evaluate spiritually whether or not you have drifted away from God. What is the status of your spiritual life? All right? Is the light green? Everything's good and you're growing? That's great. Is the light kind of yellow and things are in an unknown state? Is the light red and you're just stopped? Where are you in your spiritual life? So God is asking you today the same question He asked Adam, specifically Adam, but Adam and Eve. Where are you? Now, there's some clues to help you determine where you are. And you can pretty much mark it down that you are where you are spiritually because of these three things. All right? Number one, your location is determined by your ear. Your location is determined by your ear. What I mean by that is you look at verses 1 through 4, and where Adam and Eve wound up, where they were spiritually, was caused by, specifically by, the voices that Adam and Eve were listening to. Listening to the wrong voices in your life will push you to a place of being separated from God and not fully understanding where you are. And then, of course, you can't get to where you're going without first knowing where you are. So your location is determined by your ear, by who you are listening to. And notice Eve was listening to the serpent. Now, I'm not sure if she fully realized who this was, but she's listening to him. She's giving him place. And really, from the very get-go, she should have cut that off. It was pretty obvious where the serpent was going with his line of questioning. But she listened to those voices. Listening to the wrong voices in your life will cause some different things to happen. Listening to the wrong voices in your life will cause you to question. Look at verse number one. You've heard and seen this before. The serpent comes to Eve, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God say, you are not allowed to eat of any tree in the garden? Did God say that? Now, this was very subtle. It's very tricky. It's like me asking Gabe, Gabe, when did you stop picking your nose? You know the trap in that, right? All right? He hasn't. No, because if you give a date, that means that you picked your nose. But if you say no, that means you're still doing it. So no matter what the answer, it's wrong. All right? It's a very sly, tricky question. And this question here is rather sly and tricky as well. Because did God say you're not allowed to eat of every tree of the garden? Did he say that? Yes or no? No, he didn't. Was there a tree that they were not supposed to eat of? Yes, there was. So you see, this gets a little sticky and complicated and on purpose. All right? The devil was introducing questioning. Questioning of, specifically, what did God really say? And you know what? The wrong voices and listening to the wrong voices in your life will cause the same kind of questions. Questions like, is that really what God said? Is that really what God meant? Do I really need to do all of that? Can I get away maybe with more than what I originally thought I could get away with? Is that command of God really reasonable? I mean, come on. Is God really, and the devil's smarter with you because he knows you've grown up in a Christian home, and you're not going to say, is God holding me back? But you can question, is Mr. Anger holding me back? Is Pastor Hammett holding us back by not allowing not allowing us to do certain things? Questions. And these questions can come for a variety of issues. These type of questions come when you're struggling with salvation. Is that really what God requires in order for you to be saved? Will it really work? I use that term, quote unquote, the way that the Bible says that it will work? Do I really need to have this attitude or that attitude? And it questions, doubts. And you begin to wrestle with these questions. And the purpose of those questions many times, the purpose of those questions is to pull us away from what God says. And we're thinking, well, I don't know if God can really save me. I don't know if I'm able to do all the things that I'm supposed to do, if I repent enough or have enough faith. I don't know. See, now we're drifting away from what God says. There's clear promises in the Scriptures about, hey, if you will come, and we heard a great message on Sunday morning, and I hope you were paying attention to that. That is calling upon the name of the Lord. It's in that desperation of, I need help. And God promises that He will do His part. But the wrong voices, the voices of our flesh, the voices of the devil, will cause us to question. And if we listen to those questions, if we internalize those questions, we will drift to a place that's not a good place for us to be. And we won't even realize how far we've drifted away. Listening to the wrong voices in your life will cause you to question. Listening to the wrong voices in your life will cause you to exaggerate. And notice what Eve says in verse number 2 and 3. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." What did God really say? Is that what God really said? Glance back to chapter 2, look at verses 16 and 17. Notice the command of God. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Let me just pause here for a second. Let me check to make sure this is not later on. Well, let me come back to that, all right? It's very interesting how it's phrased. All right, so stay tuned. I'll point that out in just a minute, but God says, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Is there a difference in what God said compared to what Eve said that God said? What's the difference? Did you see it? Emmeline? God said, if you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. Eve said, we're not allowed to eat it or even touch it. Did God say they weren't allowed to touch it? No, He didn't say that. Is it a good idea for them not to touch it? Obviously, it's a good idea because you can't. I was going to say you can't eat something that you don't touch first, but you can do it. But bobbing for apples is rather difficult, which is why it's a game and not something that we do all the time. And I hope that you don't eat without your hands, because that's rather, if you're a junior high boy and you're doing that, you should stop. All right. Bad manners. But listening to the wrong voices causes you to exaggerate. And boy, are teenagers really good at this when the rules are laid down. Eve says, "We're not even allowed to touch it." At which you're looking for the reaction, "No way. That is so not fair. That is so not right." You know, things like, "We're not even allowed to look at the guys at that in that school." Really? Really? "We're not even allowed to talk to each other there." Really?
Seriously?
Right? You see where the exaggeration? They make the, we have to wear tents at that church in order to be modest. Now, are any of those things true? They are not true, and you know they're not true. But when we listen to the voices, it causes us to exaggerate. And we come up with ideas and thoughts that are not right. And some of you sit in the spiritual condition you sit in, whether that is you're lost and you're apart from Christ, or you're not in a good place spiritually, and you're in that place because you're listening to the wrong voices. You're listening to your own reasoning. You're listening to maybe what friends are telling you. You're listening to fill in the blank. You're listening to anything other than what God says. And that's why you're in the condition that you're in. That's why you're in the place that you're in. Listening to the wrong voices causes you to question, causes you to exaggerate, and causes you to doubt. Specifically, causes you to doubt God. In verses 4 and 5, notice what the serpent says. He says to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." That's the doubt. God's not going to do what he says he's going to do. Now, hold on right here. Think, put your thinking caps on for just a second, and then you can go back to sleep. But think. When the devil said, "Ye shall not surely die," was that a complete lie? All right, don't look at your neighbor. Time to vote, all right? So you're not allowed to steal an answer from your neighbor, all right? This is yes, this is no, okay? And you have to vote all at the same time. You're not allowed to go, what's Joey doing, all right? I'm sure he says it. All right, was the statement, "Ye shall not surely die," a complete lie? Yes or no? Show me, show me, show me. None of this. None of this. Couple of yeses. Couple of noes. Great. I love disagreement because this is awesome. All right. Let me correct the record. Was the devil completely lying? The answer is no. You say, what? What? Well, think about it. Did Adam and Eve die when they ate the fruit? So now that some of you are like leaning back like, oh, got me. It all depends, all right? And I'm thinking of a former president that we have. It all depends on what the meaning of is. It all depends on what the meaning of die is. Did Adam and Eve die? Yes. Did Adam and Eve die? No. Some of you are really confused now. You're like, you lost me. Did Adam and Eve die physically? No. Now, they started the process, all right, and one day they would. Did Adam and Eve die spiritually? Yes. So, the devil's just so sly in how he does this. And he gets you that have grown up in a great church and good homes, who you've been fed the truth and given the truth. You, who should know better, he gets you to believe things that are not true. Whether that's about whether or not you can get saved or how to get saved or whether that's in and how you're supposed to live and not supposed to live. All right, everybody look at Mr. Anger. Whoa, cool, he's opening the vent. All right, now come back to me. The devil wants to cause doubt. Doubts like, the consequences aren't going to happen to me. Verse 4, that's what he said. You shall not surely die. It won't be that bad. I'm the exception. So everyone else, this shows in many different areas. Everyone else, you know, they can get saved easily. But, you know, I'm the exception. It's different with me. Or you're warned about the consequences of a particular area of sin. And you're warned, hey, don't go that direction because this might happen. Oh, that won't happen to me. I'm the exception. It causes doubt. Listening to those wrong voices causes doubt. It causes the doubt, verse 5, God knows in the day that you eat, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, is that true? Some of you now are afraid to answer. Is that true? Sort of. Yes. Adam and Eve were going to lose their innocence. They were going to know that difference. Was that good for them? No, it wasn't. But the point that the devil is getting at was that real living is found outside of God's will. If you really want to live, if you really want to experience life, you will find that. You will experience that outside of what God wants for you. That's where real living is at. And can I point this out? Notice what the devil says in verse 1. God said, "Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now go back to chapter 2, verse 17, or verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Do you see the difference between those two? Do you see it, Dominic? What's the difference? He's nodding his head, so I'm going to pick on him. You notice the emphasis of the statement. God says, you can eat of every tree but one. The devil says, you can't eat of every tree. You notice the difference, the emphasis? And that's what the devil wants to get you to see. Real living is outside of God's will. He wants you to see all of the negative. All right, so we're asking ourselves the question, where am I? Where are you? And your location is determined by your ear. Your location is also determined, number two, by your vision. I guess to be consistent, maybe I should have put your eyes. Your location is determined by your vision. Look at verses 6 and 7. And when the woman saw. Notice the progression of sin. It commences, it starts with a look. You know, the advertisers know this. If they can just get your eyes to look. And so there's something called clickbait on the internet. And let me just take a pause from my message and say, you need to be very, very, very careful. Because even on, if you're on the internet at all, even on some of the best of the best websites, there is a column down to the right-hand side, a column at the bottom, and then interspersed in between, there are ads. 99% of those ads are clickbait, meaning they are trying to get your attention by an inflammatory picture, a suggestive picture, or by an inflammatory headline. You know, so-and-so paid off their mortgage in 2 weeks because... dot, dot, dot. Ooh, click. Or, you won't believe what happened to this lady. Dot, dot, dot. Click. All right. Why do they do that? It's clickbait. There's even a name for it. All right. It's a little hook out there and then, click me, click me. Oh, clicky. What? Oh, you want this right here. All right. I dare you not to do it. So you have to be very careful. All right. So avoid that at all costs. You should never, ever, ever click on an ad for any reason, for anything, right? That's just a good rule of thumb. But anyway, that's beside the point. Can I come back to my message now? All right. Where was I going? Oh, sin. The devil knows this. It starts with a look. He gets your attention to look. He says, look at this, Eve. Look at this fruit. Commences with a look. It grows to a desire. Do you see this? The woman saw that the tree was good for food. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, that's nice. That makes me feel good. That's what I want. Commences with a look. Grows to a desire. Then, look, it says it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. And then it climaxes with an act. She takes the fruit. Then sin never stops there. It continues with collaboration, because what does she do? Oh, Adam, you've got to try this. You've got to be involved in this with me. And then in verse 7, it collapses with the cold, hard truth. Have you ever been there with sin? It got your attention. You're lured into it. And so you did it. You remember the feeling afterwards? Can you identify? I can identify, okay? Because I've fallen and been lured away, done it, and then it's like, what? How do you feel? Can someone tell me? How do you feel? We all know you all sin, so it's not an embarrassment for you to admit to it. How do you feel, Samantha?
Guilty.
How do you feel, Gabe, besides bad? Thank you. How do you feel, Brittany?
You sort of feel like everything on your inside wants to be on your outside.
It's
sort of like come up and die.
Uh-huh. You feel that. You just feel, here's a good word, horrible. You feel horrible. And then the devil comes, and then he accuses you is what he does. He's the one that got you to fall in it in the first place. But then he comes and says, see what you did? You're a loser. You are worthless. And that's what he does. But why did Eve fall in this area? Because of what she was looking at. She was looking at things that she ought not to look at instead of looking at, okay, what did God say? What does God want for me? So sin, it commences with a look, it grows to a desire, it climaxes with an act, it continues with collaboration, and then it collapses with this cold, hard truth. You've sinned. You're separated from God. You're guilty. Your location is determined by what you look at. So where you are spiritually is determined by what you've been looking at. All right? Where you are spiritually, you are not a spiritual victim. What do I mean by that? You are not where you are spiritually because of someone else. You are where you are spiritually because of you. What you've been listening to, what you've been looking at. And number three, your location is determined by your desire. Your desire. And notice this in verses 8 and 9. What do they do when they hear the voice of God? What do Adam and Eve do when they hear the voice of God? Verse 8. Someone tell me. Isaac?
They hide.
Can I ask you, what had they done every single day prior to this day we're looking at, prior to them hiding, what had they done every single day prior to that, when they heard the voice of God? Jeremiah? They walked with God. Before, their relationship with God was the highlight of their day. Oh, God's here. We're going to go. And I don't know how that worked, all right? That's, you know, your imagination can kind of go wild at how that worked. I'm not sure exactly, but that God's here and He wants to walk with us. Let's go talk with God. Let's go tell Him about what we've seen today, what we've discovered, and the new things about His creation and how wonderful He is. And let's just go have a wonderful time. Let's go hang out with God. This is going to be great. Before. Now, afterwards, they're running and hiding from God and the things of God. They want nothing to do with that. Oh, no, He's preaching on this subject again. Oh, no, He's talking about this. Oh, I'm so tired of this. Whatever that may be. And so now you're in this spiritual condition because before maybe you had a desire for spiritual things, but now it's like the cockroach is in the light. You want to run away from it as fast as you can. All right. Where are you? Spiritually speaking, where are you? You say, well, I know spiritually I am not where God wants me to be. I'm not where I want to be. And you know what? If you're a Christian, there should be at least a little bit of holy discontentment with where you are spiritually. You should have a desire to grow in some sort of way. But maybe you look at yourself and you say, you know what? I'm not where I need to be. How do I get back to where I belong? Well, let me point this out real quickly and we'll be done. Notice how God deals with Adam and Eve. Verse 9, He asked them that question. Where art thou? How do I get back to where I belong? Well, first I've got to recognize where I am. I have to identify where I am. Do you know that you can be honest with God? I know this is groundbreaking and revolutionary, but you can be honest with God. And it's very helpful. You look at the Psalms, and so often, the writer of those Psalms, whether it was David or someone else, so often, he's very blunt and very honest with, this is where I am. This is what I'm struggling with. This is the problem that I'm having. This is the question that I'm wrestling with. This is where I am. He's very honest. And you can be honest with God. And I'll add this. It seems to be, in our human condition, it's almost necessary for us to be honest with God. Like, that's something that we need. It's not like He needs information like, oh, now I know where Mark's at. I didn't know before. Now He knows. But there's something about us admitting to it, probably because it's an important part of repentance, for us to admit where we are. But be honest with God. Level with God. He already knows where you are. In Isaiah 1:18, He said, come now, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Or I think I messed that verse up, but you can look that up. All right. But He says, come and let us reason. Though you're in this condition, I can change you to be in this condition. Let's reason. But you've got to come and you've got to realize where you are. How do I get back to where I belong? Recognize where you are. Verse 11, God says, after they kind of fess up, they admit to where they are, not in a good place, running from God, trying to hide from God. And then verse 11, God asks them another question. He says, who told thee? Who told thee? How do I get back to where I belong? Well, admit who you've been listening to. Where are your objections really coming from? Because if they're objections, they're not based in truth. They're based in either your reasoning, your mental, your thoughts, or they're based on thoughts that are being fed to you by listening to the wrong sources in the world or friends or things like that. That's where your objections are coming from. They're not coming from God, and they have no basis in truth. Your objections for why you can't, for whatever reason, be sure of your salvation, why you can't be saved, why God's command to you after salvation to be baptized doesn't apply to you, why these commands, you know, they're good for everyone else but not for you. Those objections are not coming from God. They are not coming in any basis of truth. They're coming from your own mind or from being fed thoughts from someone else's mind, but they're not coming from God. Admit who you've been listening to. And then number 3, verse 11, God asked them, hast thou eaten? Again, did God know that they ate? Yes, He did. Why is He asking this question? Because He wanted them to confess what they have done. Confess what you have done. Confession is telling God explicitly what you had done, what you have done, agreeing with Him that it is as bad as He says it is, and desiring God's help for you to be different. He that covereth his sins, covering is the opposite of confessing. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So, where are you spiritually? Take a moment in the couple minutes that we have left. Take a moment right now, and I want you to write this down. Just an exercise. All right, you don't need to show this to anybody. If you want to cross it out before I see it, I won't mark it against you. All right, if you don't want to share that, but I want you to write down, this is where I am spiritually. If you know that you are not saved, I want you to write it down. I am not saved. If you are, I want you to write down, I am saved, and put a date next to it, when you were saved. Go ahead, do it. Do it. I am not saved. I am saved. If you are struggling with doubts, I want you to write down, I am struggling with knowing that I am saved. Write it down. If you're sure, write that down. I am sure that I'm saved. That's a good thing, right? Identify where you are. Then I want you to write, and everyone, I want everyone to do this, okay? I want you to give your walk with God, your daily walk with God, a grade. My walk with God, and we'll do it like the elementary grades, is outstanding, satisfactory. What's the other? Needs improvement. I think those are the three, all right? Outstanding, satisfactory, needs improvement. If you want to do needs serious improvement for the bottom, that might help too. Now, we could go on, and I'm not giving particular emphasis to specific things. Maybe we should do one more. My level of sanctification as far as growing close to God is satisfactory, needs improvement, needs serious improvement, outstanding. And this is where it gets really, really general, because each of you are in different places, and you may be dealing with a level of sanctification. You're growing, and that's what we're really talking about, all right? It starts with salvation. The first step after salvation is baptism. God wants you to be serving through a local church, and you could evaluate your service. How are you serving through your local church, and how you're involved in our church? What areas are you involved in? And then God wants you to be walking with Him on a daily basis, being sanctified, becoming more like Him, weeding out attitudes. And what is all of that? It's just growth. All right? And obviously the goal is to be more like Christ. But if we don't identify where we are, remember the point of our lesson today. If we don't identify where we are, we'll never get to where we're going. We'll never be able to get where we're going. So identify where you are. And identify what you need now to do to change where you are. All right? You are not doomed to stay exactly where you are spiritually. You are not somehow the exception. Everyone else, you know, God's plan works for them except for me. You're not an exception. God made you. You are just like everyone else as far as the capabilities that God has given. You can. None of you do not have the ability to be saved. None of you do not have the ability to be as sanctified as God wants you to be. Don't buy that lie. It's a lie. It's not true. You can. With God's help, you can. What do you need to do to change? And you know what? This applies to everyone who's sitting here. It applies as much to me and Mrs. Hall and Mr. Anger as it applies to you. Because God wants us growing and progressing and moving forward. And if we get to the place where, oh, this is a good place on the growth ladder for me, I'm just going to hang out here, not good. Not good. God wants to be sanctifying us. Where are you, and where do you need to go in your spiritual life? Hope you'll think about that question today. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this account that you have preserved for us, and how relevant and real it is to us today. And Lord, I pray that you would help some of these young people to identify, to own where they are spiritually, to not just float. The devil just wants us to float. We're not thinking about these things. We're not giving consideration to these things. We're just there. And Lord, I know that you want a youth group that is not just there. It's not just adequate existing. but you want one that's striving for further growth. You want one that's reaching forward, reaching higher. You want one like the Apostle Paul, where he said, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm pushing forward. I want to be more and more like you. I pray that you would give us a holy hunger and desire to not be satisfied where we are, but to be involved in growing, in growth, whatever area that might be. Sometimes those growth areas are so small, and we could even be tempted to say, oh, that's not all that important. It's insignificant. But yet it is significant. It is a step of faith. It is a step of growth. And I pray that we would, that you would convict some hearts this morning, that there would be some who would just have a motivation and a desire. It's time for me to move forward. It's time for me to take that next step, whatever that might be. Bless the rest of the day and continue challenging us. May we not forget where we are and where we need to go today. And we'll just thank you for allowing us to be together today. And thank you for giving us your word and giving us the direction through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.